following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Well, church, there's an issue that we need to discuss this morning. To be real honest with you, it's not a very pleasant issue. Nobody in this room really does not like to talk about this, and probably no one in this room more than me despises the fact that this is something that we have to deal with. It's a situation that is beyond our control. It is something that just happens on a regular basis, but it is something that we can adequately prepare for. Right now, off the coast of Africa, there are three tropical waves heading across the Atlantic Ocean. Waiting for a storm to get here is not the time to prepare. So as your pastor, I think I need to give you that warning. If you plan to stay, should we happen to have a storm come through this area, to be successful in making it through that storm is to prepare now, not to wait till the storm is here, not to wait till all the bread is off the shelves and everybody's bought up all the toilet paper. Go ahead and prepare now just in case. All that stuff you can use later on, it's not going to go bad on you. You'll get the opportunity to use it at some point in time. I have literally spent the past 2 days getting generators ready, making sure everything was running wide, getting fuel just in case. And I want to be successful. If I stay for one of these, I know Marcia's not going to stay. She's going to be the first one out of here. Last year, when Francine was on the way, I think she was the only one in Morgan City that actually left town. So just on a serious note, you know, if you feel like that you are not in any condition, should one of these storms come through our area, make sure that you have a plan in place. Make sure that is a successful plan. Make sure that you have everything you need, a place to go, and everything in your house is secured and ready for that event. If you are planning on staying, if you're one of those that you like the adventure, you like the thrill, you like to see what's going on, you want to be here when it happens, make sure that you have everything in preparation to be successful during that time, during those days afterwards. Joseph literally has a storm coming that he knows nothing about. He is coming out of the frying pan and into the fire. But I think what we see throughout the life of Joseph is adequately prepared for anything and everything that came his way. His brothers have betrayed him. They've thrown him in a pit. He's been sold into slavery. Last week we took a little break from the life of Joseph when we talked about a situation that happened between Judah and Tamar. They were not successful in warding off the temptation that came their way. So over the next few weeks, we started this last week talking about temptations. There's a different temptation that we're going to talk about today. And there's another temptation that we'll talk about next week. The temptation we're going to talk about today is one called success. Sometimes when we're successful, the temptation is to let it go to our heads. Sometimes when we're successful, sometimes the temptation is to let our guard down. And so there's a little bit of a temptation that comes along in many different forms, and one of them is success. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll be in Genesis in just a moment, but just a minute. I've been giving you some verses that go along with what we're learning through the life of Joseph. If you have your Bible this morning, open up to the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. I want to talk about one of the snares that comes along with success. What could possibly be lost, how to prevent it, and what Joseph was doing in his life to ward off the snares of success and to make it through this temptation that he is going through. Let's all stand for this reading. I'm going to read verses 34 through 38 in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. The time when Jesus called his disciples to him, he was teaching them a very important lesson. He says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Here's the thing about success. Different people measure success in different ways. Success for the Christian is taking up your cross and following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what this world has to offer you, and that's where Jesus is going with this passage. He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the great price that you have paid for our souls. And Lord, I pray for each and every person here. Lord, I pray that they are successful in whatever endeavor that they partake in, Lord, as long as it glorifies you. I pray, Lord God, for your blessings upon them. But I pray, Lord God, that while they are being blessed, that they will keep their eyes on you and they will follow you every step of the way. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would think right now about what it is that they've given in exchange for their soul. What is it that they are pursuing that is keeping them from following you? And I pray that we can look at Joseph's success here, how he handled it, how he dealt with it, how he didn't let it go to his head, but he knew that what was going on was part of your plan. And how during that time of success that he resisted the temptation that he did. And Lord, we just honor you, we glorify you, and we commit this time to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And we are now back in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. And we'll look at these next few verses about what happens next in the life of Joseph. We go away from the story of Judah and Tamar, how they failed to succumb to temptation and what happened in their family because of it. And then we get back into the life of Joseph. Success. There are a lot of different words of wisdom that go along with success. Preparing yourself to do better, preparing yourself for what lies ahead. Always preparing is not a bad thing. Benjamin Franklin once said that failing to prepare is preparing to fail. So the storms in your life, are you successfully prepared to endure whatever storm may come your way? I heard one time that there are actually two simple rules for success. Number one, don't tell all you know. And now we get into our passage here in the book of Genesis. Three things I want to point out to you about the snares of success that Joseph was able to avoid. We read in verses 1-2, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. So anytime you see Egypt and Pharaoh mentioned in the Bible, they are synonymous with hell and with Satan, the enemies that are up against us. If we are to look at the life of Joseph as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are to look at the Israelites as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are to look at all those things as pictures, when anytime you see Egypt and Pharaoh mentioned, it is a picture of our enemy Satan and his kingdom. So Joseph is taken down to Egypt. He's sold into slavery. He is now in the house of Potiphar. He is moving up the ladder ever so slowly, but it seems like he takes one step forward and two steps back every time he takes a step. So Pharaoh, his captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Underline those words right there because you're going to see that mentioned time and time again. We see this in the Old Testament. We see this in the New Testament also as people reflect upon the life of Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. So see, there's nothing wrong with success. Sometimes the Lord will grant you success for a purpose as long as it benefits His kingdom. But how you handle that success, that's where the temptation comes into play. The Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand, it says in verse 3. Joseph was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So here's the thing. Are you faithful to the Lord no matter what? Both in good times and in bad times. We learned early on in Romans chapter 8, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Sometimes the Lord will grant us success as long as it benefits His kingdom and we learn how to handle it. Sometimes He'll give us just a little success to see how we handle that before He blesses us even more. But here's the thing that I want you to see about Joseph and what's going on in his life. There is no one else in the Bible who has every right to be angry about what's going on in his life than Joseph. God has given him a dream, two dreams as a matter of fact so far. Joseph has told those dreams to his dad, his mom, his brothers, and they all despised him because of it. Joseph was the favorite of his father. He had the coat of many colors. His brothers hated him for that. He's been sold into slavery, thrown in a pit. They've lied about him back to his father, making his father think that he is dead. Joseph is not in a good place right now. He has every right to turn his back on the Lord and say, you know what? I give up. It's not worth it. But the Lord has blessed Joseph, and He's blessed him for a reason. So the question comes up as you look at this, was Joseph blessed because he remained faithful to the Lord? Or was Joseph faithful to the Lord because he was blessed? It's the old proverb, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Why is Joseph living the life that he lived? Is that just the way he has lived all of his life and the Lord has blessed him because of that? Or has the Lord blessed him and now because of the blessing, Joseph is being faithful? But we see Joseph is not in a place where he wants to be. He goes down to Egypt. There's a lot to say about that particular phrase right there. Joseph's success was noted by others that the Lord called into the service as well. Right before Stephen was martyred, Acts chapter 7, verse 9, Stephen talks about Joseph going down to the house of Potiphar and the Lord blessing him and using him. So here's the thing about our faithfulness to the Lord. Here's one of the ways that we can learn how to stand up to the temptation that comes along through being successful sometimes. Point number one, our faithfulness to the Lord throughout His process for our lives should never become conditional. Period. Your faithfulness to the Lord should not depend on whether things are happening in your life that are good or whether things that are happening in your life that are bad. Yes, I've been through multiple hurricanes in my life, and the Lord has blessed me because of that. He has brought some good things in my life. Even though I've gone through that trial, even though I've gone through that tribulation, I've met so many new people. I've seen the Lord work in other people's lives. And even during the worst time, even when the storm was on top of my house, even when I was uncertain whether my house was going to be standing after that storm or not, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God was in control. And even if He took my home away and everything that I own, I would still live my life for Him. So right now, what you're going through, it may be a situation that is beyond your control. You may be a victim of circumstance. You know that you have done nothing in your life to bring this into your life. You know that there's nothing you can do to get rid of it. Are you going to stay faithful to the Lord no matter what condition your life is in? No matter what direction it goes in? The Apostle Paul learned to be thankful and obedient no matter what was going on in his life. Paul and Silas were in a Philippian jail. At midnight, they began to sing praises to the Lord. a cold, slimy, nasty prison cell, chained to each other with other prisoners around, no hope of getting out. They did not let their condition dictate how they were going to praise the Lord. They sang praises to the Lord, and what happened? The jail cell, the doors opened wide. The book of Philippians, Paul says this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. His contentment was not conditional. His contentment did not rely on what was going on externally. What was going on inside of his heart internally determined his contentment. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. See, verse 13 is the one that we always like to recite. But we don't look at what Paul says leading up to that. Verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your faithfulness to the Lord should never, ever be determined by what's going on externally in your life. It should never, ever become conditional. Our good friend Job, Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Job was just rocking along, minding his own business. He was a prosperous man. He was successful. He had friends. He had family. He had fortune. He had a big home. He had huge herds of cattle. He had crops growing all around him, just minding his own business. And all of a sudden, Satan says, you know what? What about old Job over here? Satan answered to the Lord. The Lord asked him, Satan, where have you been? What have you been up to? He was suspicious of what was going on. Satan answered the Lord. He said, look, does Job fear you for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. God said, okay, you can do whatever you want to Job, but you just can't take his life. And then everything fell apart around Job. If you read through the book of Job, he remained faithful all the way to the end. How about you? When these storms come, are you prepared to endure the temptation of turning your back on the Lord? Do you understand that no matter what conditions you face in life, that your relationship with the Lord is and always will be the greatest blessing in your life? Any blessing that God brings into your life pales in comparison to your eternal destination. Your salvation outshines them all, because that is what Jesus died for. Jesus didn't die to bring material wealth and goods into your life. He came to give you something that money can't buy. What should it profit a man that he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? Because that's what Jesus died for. As long as you can keep focus on walking with the Lord each and every day, you will soon understand that your greatest blessing will come through faithfulness to his word and nurturing a relationship with him. Jesus talked about those two specific things. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Was Joseph blessed because he was faithful? Or was he faithful because he was blessed? Here's what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they will be filled. Joseph doesn't understand what's going on in his life right now. He doesn't understand why he has been so faithful. He doesn't understand why, because of his faithfulness, God is bringing all these bad things into his life. He doesn't see the big picture. See, that's what God does in our life as well. He doesn't allow us to see from beginning to end. He says, I'm going to give you just enough to keep you going, because if I show you what you have to go through to get to where I want you to be, it's going to scare you to death. Joseph had the ability to see dreams. God was giving him dreams, but he didn't give him all the details of what was going to take place. He just said, here's what's going to happen in the end, but I'm not going to show you what's going to happen between now and then. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because those are the ones that will be filled. He also said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So don't ever, ever let your faithfulness to the Lord be conditional. Don't let it be based on what's going on externally, because you don't understand what God is preparing you for next. He's going to give you one small test to see if you pass it. The next test may be just a little bit bigger. The next test may just be a little bit bigger. And then all of a sudden you're going to say, now I see why he brought me through everything that I had to. Now I understand all of those conditions that I had to go through to get to where I am now. The next thing we see in the life of Joseph is he doesn't let his success go to his head. Verse 2, it says that the Lord was with him, and he was a successful man. Yes, the Lord is going to bring blessings into some of your lives. Some he will not. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. But from time to time, there are people that I have met that God has just richly, richly blessed. And you know what? Just meeting that person, you would never guess that they have everything that they have. They're just so humble. They're so meek. They're so generous. They're so loving. They're kind. They're so open. They're so down to earth. It's very, very obvious that they did not let their success get to their head. Never forget where you came from. And I think that's the mantra of Joseph's life here. Even in all of his success, even in everything that the Lord blessed him with, the abilities that he gave him, the power that he gave him, the control that he gave him, he never let it get to his head. Point number two. Even during times of great success in our lives, we should always remain humble. Look, no matter how close you get to the Lord in your walk with him, don't ever look down on a person that's living in sin. Don't ever forget where you came from, and don't ever forget what the Lord has forgiven you of. And if the Lord does grant success in your life, don't you dare turn your back on him and think that you're in control and you have everything you need, because you will never, ever have everything that you need. Joseph went down to Egypt three times, and three times Joseph rises back up. Joseph went down to Egypt. He didn't forget where he came from. He didn't forget his family, and he didn't forget God. He remained the same humble, level-headed person, understanding that God was in control and he had a plan that he was working out. Verse number 3 says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. There it is again. And that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight. And get this, he served him. Underscore those two words there. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Three times Joseph went down. Three times Joseph came back up, because he never forgot about his relationship with the Lord. He never forgot about where he came from, and he never forgot about the family that had betrayed him either. But he knew that God was working out a plan in his life. So what is it about stumbling that makes us learn more about God's faithfulness? I think God has to knock us down a notch every now and then just to keep us humble. Sometimes we think, man, I've got a handle on this Christian life. My quiet time is so deep. My quiet time is so rich. God is blessing me. And then all of a sudden, wham, here comes another storm. What are you going to do then? God says, all right, don't get too cocky in your walk now. Don't remember that you are still susceptible to temptation. And I think God has to knock us down a notch every now and then just to keep us humble. What is it about stumbling that makes us learn more about God's faithfulness? For the Christian, here it is. Failure is never, ever the end. Write down this verse, Proverbs 24:16. Proverbs 24:16 says that a righteous man may fall seven times and rises again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Joseph had his coat of many colors. Joseph had dreams that the Lord had given to him. Joseph was his father's favorite, and all of a sudden God has to humble him and knock him down. He says, Joseph, you're not in control. I am. And I'm working out something in your life. Joseph went down three times. This young man who was once his father's favorite, he's now a humble servant. 17 years old in a foreign land, betrayed, sold into slavery. How would anyone ever find encouragement in a situation like that? If anyone ever had a reason to give up on life and turn their back to the Lord, it was this young man. And it was obvious to those around him just how devoted Joseph was to the Lord. Verse number 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Joseph didn't get high-minded during his success. He stayed humble. Joseph continued seeking the Lord. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. Why is it that we need to resist pride and stay as humble as we possibly can? Jesus said, he who humbles himself shall be exalted, but he who exalts himself shall be abased. Let me just say this. Here's one of the reasons we need to stay as humble as we possibly can. Because right now you got more people watching you than you could ever imagine. They're watching your actions. They're watching your body language. They're listening to what you say. They're watching how you respond. They're looking to see if you're going to become high-minded, if you think you're up on a shelf, if you're up on a pedestal, if you're way above everyone else. But if they see that you are humbly serving the Lord, using your gifts and your talents, and continuing to pursue Him, it's going to make an impact on their life. His master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And when he saw that, what did he do? He put all that he had under his authority. But Joseph never ever forgot where he came from. He never forgot what the Lord had revealed to him. And what did Joseph decide to do? He could have said, look, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to take it easy. We're going to see how this thing unfolds. That's not what he did, though. What did he do? He served him. This man had just given him the key to everything that he owns. This man had just given him control, a foreigner in his home. But he saw that the Lord was with him. He saw how humble he was. Joseph served him. He served Potiphar. He became the example. He became the example when all the world was against him. He became the example when he could have very easily have turned his back on the Lord and his family. How easy would it have been for any of us, myself included, to go down there live our lives the way that we should, someone give us full control, and forget about those back home. It would be very, very easy to do that. Personally, we've been talking a lot about comparisons and contrasts. This is one comparison right here of the life of Joseph to the Lord Jesus Christ that I believe is the strongest one we'll see throughout this whole story. There is no greater comparison between Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ than this right here. Joseph had all of the authority right there in the palm of his hand, yet he chose to continue to serve Potiphar. The same could be said about the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to him. He was able to perform miracles. People were following him. They were clinging to his every word. And he could have told them, you serve me while I'm here on this earth. But that's not what he did. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the night before he died, he did something so humble. He served his disciples. He took a bowl of water and a wash basin and a towel. He strapped on an apron and he knelt down and he washed the dirty, stinky, smelly feet of each one of the disciples, even the one who would betray him, Judas Iscariot. So there is no greater comparison, in my opinion, between Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ than the way that they served those that were against him. And we're going to see that revealed in the life of Joseph towards the end of this story. He served him. Write down this verse. Psalms 101 verse 6 says this. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. As a Christian, your attitude toward people living in sin will often make the difference. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. I saw this quote on social media earlier this morning. The difference between Jesus and religion is this. Religion shames people for having dirty feet, but Jesus kneels down to wash those dirty feet. There's a reason why the writer of the book of Genesis adds these words here. He served him. He didn't have to add that to it, but he did. He did it as an example for us, to remind us that during times of great success, when someone turns over authority or power to us, it is the best thing that we can do to stay humble before the Lord and never ever forget where we came from. The writer added those words to this passage because he didn't want us to stumble and he didn't want us to fall. He didn't want us to fail the God that we love. And he didn't want us to miss out on the plan that God has for our life. So here's the next thing that we see. Don't let success go to your head. Don't ever forget where you came from. Point number three, the high-minded attitude brought on by the pride of success can cause a person to easily stumble. It would have been so easy for Joseph to say, oh yeah, I've got it now. You know what? My brothers betrayed me. Forget about them. They made their nest. Let them stay in it. But he didn't do that. As we pick up in verse number 5, it says this, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And that is setting us up for next Sunday, when the opportunity for Joseph to stumble and to cave into temptation actually comes our way. Now, here's the phrase that I want you to connect with this. Stay humble, don't stumble. Normally we see when we've got an opponent that's greater than us, a lot of people who aren't afraid of taking on those bigger opponents, they say what? They say the bigger they are, the harder they fall. But here's the thing about Joseph. He was getting pretty big in the eyes of this world, and it would have been a very, very hard fall if he would have stumbled. Verses 1 through 6 are literally the calm before the storm. And if Joseph couldn't pass the test of becoming successful, there is absolutely no way that he would ever pass the test that's coming down the line. Last week we saw two individuals who caved in to the lust of the flesh and what it led to. Chapter 39 stands in a stark contrast to chapter 38, because while Judah and Tamar stumbled in their temptation, Joseph shines through his. Now, there is no doubt at all that Joseph is a victim of circumstance. He's dealing with issues that are far beyond his control. However, one thing that he is in control of is this: his character and his conduct. Nobody else has control over those two things except for Joseph. You may be a victim of circumstance. You may be dealing with circumstances that are beyond your control. You may think that you have things going on in your life that you have absolutely no control of, but there are two things that you will always, always have control of, and they will keep you from stumbling: your character and your conduct. Listen, if you don't want to stumble, you have got to be careful of how and where you walk. If you want to, turn to Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul has some advice to give us on how to walk, how not to walk. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. If you want to just write this down and listen, you can. Paul says this: I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sounds pretty easy, don't it? Looks good on paper. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means you're in control of your character and your conduct. It means you're doing the things to prepare yourself for when that temptation comes along. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Are you doing the right things to prevent yourself from stumbling? Walk in the flesh, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. There's a flip side to that as well. Paul says here, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you turn that around, if you're walking in the flesh, guess what? You're not going to be listening to what the Spirit has to say to you. And because Joseph did not stumble, not only will his own family be blessed in the future, but we see the blessings here are already impacting those around him right away. Here's the thing. Our obedience to the Lord has a far-reaching impact, not only for our personal lives, but for the lives of those around us as well. Let me say this again. There are more people watching you than you ever, ever will imagine. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Joseph is successful. Joseph is rising to power. Joseph is gaining the trust of Potiphar, someone he just met. And the Lord is preparing him for the next stages of his life. And most of the times when we experience a little bit of success, when we gain a little bit of ground, that's usually when we let our guard down. We fail to continue walking in the Spirit. We take our eyes off of the path. We stumble. Pride sets in, and we let our guard down. But that absolutely is not what happened to Joseph. Are you walking in the Spirit right now? Or are you walking in the flesh? Are you doing something right now to safeguard yourself against success and other temptations that may come your way in the future? The time to prepare is not then. The time to prepare is right now. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was tempted by Satan. Three times Satan promised him everything that he could offer him, and three times Jesus rebuked him using the power of the Scriptures. Three times he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And then when he overcome the temptation that Satan was throwing at him, he then began his earthly ministry. Joseph's life, a shining example of what it means to remain loyal to the Lord. Because the Lord was with him. So here's a question on the floor tonight, and the question I want to close out with. Right now, is the Lord with you? Are you walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh? Every head bowed and every eye closed. There are snares that come our way each and every day. Things that we see, things that we taste, things that we hear, things that we do, things that we touch, things that we feel. Temptation is not the sin. What you do with the temptation, that's where the sin sets in. Perhaps you're here today and you're going through a struggle. You don't know why. You don't know how. Maybe it feels like you're not going to make it at all. Think about Joseph in this manner right now. There wasn't anyone else with him from his family, none of his friends, but the Lord was with him. And that was all that mattered to Joseph. Is the Lord with you right now? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that question. 1 John chapter 5 has this to say. He who has the Son, talking about Jesus Christ, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Notice there's no middle ground there. Either you do or you don't. Either you're saved or you're lost. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of Satan. Either you're walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And all of those are totally dependent on whether or not you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you died today, there would be either one of two destinations: eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And all of that is based upon whether or not you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you died today, where would you spend eternity? Can you think back to a time where you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you've knelt down on your knees, you've confessed your sins, you've asked Jesus to forgive you, and you've committed your life to him? If not, why not make today that day? Perhaps you're dealing with some decisions in your life. You just need some guidance. Maybe you just need to get on one of these altars here in just a moment alone with the Lord. Spend some time with him in prayer. But if today you would like to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is your Father, Jesus is your Savior, and heaven is your home, I'd love to tell you more about beginning that relationship with Him. I pray that the Lord would give you enough boldness to be the first one up and out of your seat to come talk to me and let me know that's something you want to know more about. So in just a few moments, when the music begins, whatever direction the Lord is leading you in, whatever you need to deal with, I'll be here to pray with you. You can get along with the Lord and pray. Just do business with the Lord. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for your love for us. And we thank you for these examples we have in Scripture, Lord God, of the blessings that come through obedience. I just pray, Lord God, that you would move through this congregation today, Lord God. Stir hearts. Give people the boldness to respond. And most of all, Lord God, I just pray that no one leaves this building without settling any issues that they have in their life. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.